ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट नंबर 14 प्रहलाद इंस्ट्रक्ट्स हिज डिमोनियक स्कूलमेट्स। प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। कुटुंब कुटुंब पोषयर विद्यम नियजयर कुटुंब पोषय वियन निजायुर न बुध्यते अथम विधम परमतः सर्वत्र तापत्रय दुखी आत्मा निर्विधयते स्व निर्विधयते न स्वकुटुंब रामः कुटुंब पोषाय नियम निजयौर न बुद्धयते अर्थम विहतम परमातः सर्वत्र तापत्रय बुद्ध्यात्मा निर्विधयते न स्वकुटुंब रामः। Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada. One who is too attached cannot understand that he is wasting his valuable life for the maintenance of his family. He also fails to understand that the purpose of human life, a life suitable for realization of the absolute truth, is being imperceptibly spoilt. However, he is very cleverly attentive to seeing that not a single farthing is lost by mismanagement. Thus, although an attached person in material existence always suffers from threefold miseries, he does not develop a distaste for the way of material existence. Purport by Prabhupada. A foolish man does not understand the values of human life, nor does he understand how he is wasting his valuable life simply for the maintenance of his family members. He is expert in calculating the loss of pounds, shillings and pence, but he is so foolish that he does not know how much money he is losing, even according to material considerations. Chanakya Pandit gives the example that a moment of life cannot be purchased in exchange for millions of dollars. A foolish person, however, wastes such a valuable life without knowing how much he is losing, even according to monetary calculations. Although a materialistic person is expert in calculating costs and doing business, he does not realize that he is misusing his costly life for want of knowledge. Even though such a materialistic person is always suffering threefold miseries, he is not intelligent enough to cease his materialistic way of life. This Prahlad Maharaj is teaching his own friends. He is a boy of 5 years old. Was talking such high philosophy because he has learned this wonderful philosophy from one of the highest gurus or acharyas. That is his guru, Narad Muni. And he says, one who is too attached cannot understand that he is wasting his valuable life for the maintenance of his family. He also fails to understand the purpose of human life. That's the second point. First, he doesn't understand that he is wasting his human life. Human life comes after a very, very long time. 84 lakh yoni means 8,400,000 different types of species we've gone through. Water, living entities in the water like fish. We've gone through in the air like birds. We've gone through animalistic life like dogs, cats, elephants, etc. And finally we enter to the human form of life. Usually, As per the Shastra, there are three ways in which we enter into the human form of life. One is from the monkey we become consciously changed to human form. Darwin had a part of the problem solved, but he didn't have the whole problem solved. Charles Darwin was wrong in the sense we don't evolve materially, we evolve consciously. Materially is not that important. The more important thing is the consciousness. So one entry into the human form of life is like a monkey. And therefore we see several children sometimes behave like monkeys. Sometimes grown up also. Then the other is from the lion. The Shastra says that some people are born tough, you know. They go to war, they fight. Whether they live or die, they don't care. If you see the lions fighting, it's almost ferocious. It's almost frightening how hard they fight with each other. They tear them to pieces. So that's another way in which we come to the human form of life. And most Matajis come from cows. So you can make out that they are very kind, they like to have association of other Matajis. Because cows always get together, you see them in herds. And as Shakespeare says, the milk of human kindness flows from thy breast. So it's very often that we see that Matajis are always feeding even other people's children. We'll come to that later. So this is a thing which is very important, that we come to the human form of life. After so many millions of years. And then we throw it all away. Just like that. Waste. We don't realize, as Prahlad Maharaj very nicely says. Now who's Prahlad Maharaj? Prahlad Maharaj is one of our greatest Mahajans, teachers. Maha and Jan. Maha means great. And Jan means personalities. Just like we say Krishna, by definition, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchit Anand Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. And Krishna is Ishvara Parama, and he is Krishna, Supreme Controller. Amongst the Mahajans, in the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 shlokas, the maximum number of words a name comes is Krishna's name. That's obvious because the whole Bhagavat is no different from Krishna. The second largest number of words, again, names come, is of Prahlad. So it means automatically that Vedvyas, who wrote this Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukdev Goswami, who spoke this Bhagavatam, emphasized heavily that the most important Mahajan of all is Prahlad Maharaj and his teachings. So who's Prahlad? Just like we say, Ishvara Parama Krishna is Vaishnava Parama Prahlad. But then you may ask, in some of the Shastras it's written that Lord Shiva is Parama Vaishnava. So how is it possible like this? So it's possible because there are three tattvas. One is, tattva means the absolute truth, truths. One is of course Vishnu tattva, and amongst them Krishna is the superior most Vishnu tattva. Then we come to the middle one, that is Shiv Tattva. So amongst that Tattva, he is the senior most or the most important Shiv Tattva. And amongst Jivatmas like us sitting here, we, amongst us, Prahlad is the superior most. You see? So that is very important. One should know that who is the authority? Whom should we listen to? Whom should we follow? And Prahlad Maharaj is a wonderful personality from whom we can learn so much. He says, first of all, that you waste your time, valuable life. Now, the important thing he mentioned is about time. We have observed that people who have, very often in business, you see people losing crores of rupees, but then they make it up as time goes on. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you gain. But time, once gone, it's gone forever. You cannot get back time. Secondly, you can store money in a bank or in a post office or anywhere else. and you'll get interest on it. And the principle remains as it is for your benefit and for the benefit of others. But your time, you cannot store it and you cannot get interest on it or get more afterwards. And you cannot retrieve it like you can with money. So in that sense, time is far more important than money. Because once time is gone, it is gone forever. And that's why Prahlad Maharaj says, this opportunity which is given as a human form of life, one should not waste it at all by frivolous activities. A foolish man does not understand the value of human life. But fortunately, those who are in this room do not qualify as foolish men because they've come here for Bhagavatam class. That automatically means that they've understood that there is some value of spending time for Bhagavatam. Because people sometimes ask, show me Krishna. Have you seen Krishna? The answer is, come to the Bhagavatam class, you'll hear Krishna. Because Bhagavat is no different from Krishna. And you'll see Krishna because we have him right in front of us in the Archavigraha form. So that is why people are foolish and don't attend classes. They are what I always say, they are, I forget, about 15, 16 million people from Kolaba right up to Virar and up to Chembur side. And still we see very few people coming to classes. Why? Because Sunday morning, the time like animals, they just want to sleep, eat, mate and defend. That's all they want to do. So this is the waste. The other thing that Prahlad Maharaj says is, although an attached person is in material existence, always suffers the threefold miseries. Everyone knows about the threefold miseries. He does not develop a distaste for the way of material existence. Somewhat like Prabhupada always gives the example of the ass who is kicked by the female ass. And yet he has the taste for the female ass. I mean, it's crazy. Because the female ass has no other option but to kick that fellow. You see, that's all she knows. And therefore she thinks that she is loving him by kicking him. Because there is their mood of expression of how to deal with each other by kicking. So there are some people also like that. They've just come evolved from the ass to the horse. So this is the way in which most of us have experienced. We try to help them and they kick us. So then you realize that it's not worth going anywhere near that person. So here is the case where Prahlad Maharaj doesn't mind. He is being threatened, he is being tortured by none other than his father, who is Hiranyakashipu. But he doesn't mind. In fact, he says to Lord Narasimha Bhagavan that even I don't want to do any business with you. When Lord Narasimha Bhagavan eventually tells him, what do you want, Prahlad? Ask anything from me. Why? He says that because he first says, I am terribly sorry. Can you imagine God telling devotee, I'm very sorry. I'm late. I've come very late. I've given you so much trouble. So Prahlad said, no trouble. I didn't know or experience any such trouble. Now this question I had asked one of Prabhupada's very dear god brothers. And that was right in the beginning when I was learning the Bhagavatam. And then Prabhupada disappeared. So from this earth. So I felt, whom should I ask? So I asked Giriraj Maharaj. Giriraj Maharaj said, I'm going to Vrindavan, come with me. We'll ask Bhagatji. Bhagatji was a neighbor at our next to our temple. One of Prabhupada's very dear god brothers. So I asked him, that why Prahlad Maharaj was given so much difficulty by God? I mean, he's a devotee. He's such a great Mahajan. God also should realize, no, that 5 saal ka ladka, 5-year-old child, he should not give so much difficulty. He said, no, actually Prahlad Maharaj never felt the difficulty. Besides, he wouldn't have risen to such a high level of being such a great Vaishnav and praised so much for millions of years had he not gone through all the difficulties. Supposing Prahlad Maharaj never went through any difficulties and Hiranyakashipu never did what he did, then this Bhagavatam, this whole area would have been skipped, the 7th canto, you see. So sometimes to glorify you, Krishna puts you in great difficulties. But we are not in the same category as Prahlad Maharaj. We should know that. So, why is all this Bhagavatam showing so many different types of avatars and so many things, so many stories about Krishna? Because that is for our benefit to go home back to Godhead. 4.9, I think, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Janma karma chime divyam, evam yo viti tatvita, tyaktva deham punar janma, neti maam eti so Arjuna. Govind Prabhu, correct? 4.9? Huh? 4.9? So, even Govind Prabhu has to recheck. So that means it's always better to recheck with other devotees. So, in the Bhagavatam, there are many, many different appearances of the Lord given to us. Why? Because His divine appearance, if you understand His divine appearance and His divine leelas, we automatically get the ticket to go home back to Godhead. We don't have to pay for, we don't have to endeavor, we don't have to do great tapasyas like in the times of Treta Yuga or in the times of Satyug, 60,000 years in Satyug or 10,000 years in Treta Yuga. Just by listening to the various pastimes, of course, reading is like listening only. So even if you read Prabhupada's books, which you should, you automatically get the benefit what people got after 10,000 years of tapasya in Treta Yuga or 60,000 years in Satyuga. So we can get it in one lifetime, as Prabhupada says. So this is very important that we must know Krishna's divine appearance and leelas. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago. Why we are so benefited, or why we are so fortunate, I should say, is because we get the complete picture from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Till Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, I have seen all the shastras which were spoken or written earlier by so many acharyas. They were talking all the time about Krishna and Vishnu and Shiva and Brahma and etc. etc. But they were never giving details about Radharani, because you cannot have a complete picture unless you have picture of Krishna and Radharani. It is Lord Chaitanya who brought this information. You see, the earlier temples had Krishna's murti only. There was no Radharani next to Krishna. They all said Radharani was in the mukut of Krishna. That is how Radharani was represented. So I used to ask Radhanath Maharaj that why was this, Maharaj? When we went to Jaipur, for instance, I had asked him this question. When we visited the original deities of Radha Govindji. So he answered to me that it was Lord Chaitanya who initiated as a Yuga Dharma, because only God can teach us real Dharma and Yuga Dharma. Not some human being. It's not possible. So, just as we have consciousness and we have to turn our consciousness towards Krishna, everything emanates from Krishna. This is now logic or philosophy. Everything comes from Krishna, and since we know that the symptom of the soul is consciousness, there is nothing else. The soul has only one symptom, and that is consciousness. Because when you die, all the rest of it goes away. All the body, even your mind, even your intelligence is left behind, in the sense if it is material. Only if it's contaminated and stuck to the soul, it goes with the soul. But if you leave your material consciousness, leave your material mind behind, then you can proceed further. So Krishna also has a consciousness. Otherwise, how did it come to us? You see? So our society is great. It's the greatest, because it's an international of all nations, society of all devotees, of Krishna consciousness. There are two ways of looking at it. One is we become Krishna conscious. That is one end of the scale. And the other is that we understand Krishna's consciousness, which is very important. Because if you don't understand Krishna's consciousness, you are not understanding the full Krishna. And it's very difficult to understand full Krishna. It's impossible, actually. Because Krishna's consciousness keeps on expanding. much faster than we can understand. But it is by the grace of Radharani only you can understand. This is the whole point. Because she is the consciousness of Krishna in Haladini Shakti. You see? And this is something which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought to us. How? Why? Because he himself is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. He is a combination of Krishna and Radharani. Up to that point, there was Krishna only, per se. There was no mention of Radharani anywhere. Okay? And therefore, there was no details available of Krishna's energies, Krishna's pastimes in with Radharani or whatever, or his Haladini Shakti. So it's very important that a book has now been written by Bhakti Purushottam Swami on the glories and pastimes of Radharani, Srimati Radharani, which has just come out. And I'll be talking a little bit about that in a few minutes. So, we have our Bhaktivedanta Hospital, for instance. We have some of the best doctors in Bombay. But none of the doctors can give us back life. Once it's gone, even in that hospital, the body is gone forever. Isn't it? So, what Radharani gives us, or this knowledge gives us, is eternal life. This is very important. Otherwise, you have life, but you have life in misery. It's not that the soul dies. But the soul lives, but in misery. But why should you live in misery? That's not our real constitutional position. Our real constitutional position is we should live in Sat Chit Anand. So that is given to us as a boon by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a very great gift. That's why he is known as Udar Purushottam. Krishna is Purushottam, no doubt. But he is Purna Purushottam. And Ramchandra ji is Maryada Purushottam, three Purushottams. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the only one who is known as Udar Purushottam because he gives all of this free of charge to us. The most intelligent materialistic man does not surrender to Krishna. Materialistic person cannot surrender to Krishna. It's not possible for him. Because he is too much attached and surrendered to material things. And Krishna is not material. Therefore, he just swings in the wrong direction. And therefore, he loses his opportunity of reciprocating with Krishna. A very important thing is to reciprocate. Because you are a friend, you have friends. And what happens? A friend gives you a present, you receive a present. You give a present. A friend can tell you something which is intimate, and you can tell something which is intimate, and so on and so forth. So, this friendship with Krishna is very important, to develop friendship with Krishna. Because he's offering an opportunity. Come, be my friend. And yet, we say, no, we don't want to be your friend. I mean, that's stupid. It's the most stupid thing on earth. Somebody is offering you, not somebody, it's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's offering this opportunity. Millions and billions of lifetimes you can spend and you get one opportunity and that's missed. Then again you have to go back through the whole thing. So we should know more about Krishna because you should know more about a friend. And only through a friendship you can know more in detail. Prabhupada said that the greatness of a person is how he can tolerate provocative situations. Why we must first develop friendship with our good friend Prahlad Maharaj, because he is the one who has given us this opportunity. Prahlad Maharaj also is eternal and he is offering you a hand of friendship. You see? So only through via media of a friend of God you can go to God. Just like you want to go to a president of India, of course now it's a lady, but earlier there was a gentleman. If you wanted to meet him, he had friends who were also scientists and rocket technologists and all that. So if you knew one of them, you could easily approach that president of India. You see, otherwise it's very difficult to approach, or through his secretary or somebody like that. So just Imagine that Prahlad Maharaj is there, who is a very close friend of God, like Krishna himself in the form of Narasimha Bhagavan comes and apologizes to his friend. Only a friend you will apologize. You will not apologize to a stranger on the street even. But because you are my friend, you are apologizing to me and I am apologizing to you sometimes. So, Prabhuji, you understand? So, this is a friendship. So, similarly, Radhanath Maharaj told me that you can develop friendship through relationship of the Bhagavatam. That is eternal. Because Bhagavatam is eternal, friendship in Bhagavatam is eternal, and therefore, if you have developed friendship with those personalities of the Bhagavatam in friendship, you can develop friendship with Krishna. Your relationship goes beyond. So Prabhupada says, greatness of a person is how he can tolerate provocative situations, not by the number of followers or learning. Means Prahlad Maharaj is so great as a friend because he could tolerate all provocative situations. He is the ultimate in all tolerance. You see. So, therefore, his friendship is the best. He is the greatest possible friend we can have amongst Jivatmas. And therefore, he is offering an opportunity through the Bhagavatam. In writing, he is giving. You see. What more do you want? And Lord Chaitanya standardized Bhagavatam as the most important book. And we should follow, become Bhagavat Dharma followers. There's one more thing which I think we should emphasize is that Lord Chaitanya took two principles from each of the sampradayas. Everybody knows that, right? Because he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that I am not favorable to one or to the other. I am equal to all. He is even equal to asuras and suras. So what to speak of all the sampradayas? So he took two from the Brahma Narad sampradaya, that is our sampradaya, two basic philosophies. One is total defeat of Mayavad philosophy and their acharyas. The greatest of all Mayavad philosophers was Hiranyakashipu. To fight him means to defeat him, it required Prahlad Maharaj. This is very important. Because what is Mayavad philosophy? There is no Krishna. Maya is supreme. And therefore, I am the supreme. And so on. That is Hiranyakashipu style of talking. So, there is no difference between Mayavadis and Hiranyakashipu. He is their acharya of Mayavadis. And that's where Prahlad Maharaj defeated him. And secondly, service to the deity, accepting him as a spiritual personality. Now, you see, ordinarily, if suddenly a half lion, half man comes in front of you, you wouldn't recognize that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You'd either run away, most probably 99.99%, or you'd collapse and faint. But here is Prahlad Maharaj, who's taking a garland and putting it around his neck. And this gentleman is very ferocious, you know. Why is ferocious? He's not ferocious at Prahlad. He's ferocious at Hiranyakashipu. Angry. You should see the description. It will come of Hiranyakashipu being torn apart, ripped apart virtually with nails. So, and still Prahlad Maharaj is accepting him as a spiritual supreme personality of Godhead. Now this is the second point that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took. Service, because Prahlad Maharaj offered service to Narasimha Bhagavan. So accepting him as a spiritual personality. That's another reason why we should accept Prahlad Maharaj, because he could see something which nobody could see. He could see, first of all, that even in the column of stone, yes, my Lord resides in that, he answered. Normally, we could not have expressed such a thing to Hiranyakashipu. First of all, we would not be able to face Hiranyakashipu. Forget about answering him back to him. And secondly, the braveness he showed. And secondly, he could see that when the column was broken and Narasimha Bhagavan himself came and tore apart Hiranyakashipu, He still accepted him as a supreme personality of Godhead. That is his greatness. So these are the things which we should appreciate. Even if you don't believe in God, even if you don't believe that there was Narasimha Bhagavan, even if you don't believe that there was Prahlad Maharaj, the fact of the matter is that there is a creation. There is no doubt. There is a creation. There are very difficult situations. We all have gone through those difficulties. And we come out of those difficulties from time to time, isn't it? By whose grace do we come out of those difficulties? Prahlad Maharaj says, it is only by your grace, divine grace, that I was able to save myself. When he's asked by Narasimha Bhagavan that you've gone through so many difficulties, I'm sorry about that. He said, no difficulties. Your grace was there always with me. See? So we must accept what Prahlad Maharaj says, that there is always the divine mercy of Krishna at all times with us. So these are the various points which Prabhupada has mentioned, the difference between a foolish person and a non-foolish person. A foolish person doesn't want to bother with Bhagavatam. He is only interested in his material benefits, and those are temporary. A person who has become a devotee understands that he has to, first of all, grasp this knowledge, because Prabhupada mentions particularly a valuable life without knowing how much you are losing. That is foolishness. He's defined. What is a foolish person? A foolish person is that person who does not know the value. That's a fact. If somebody gives you in your inheritance a big diamond and you don't know the value of that diamond, and you look at it and say, oh, it looks like stone. Suppose you think you are a very, very intelligent chemist. Oh, that's carbon actually. Nothing. It's of no value. C14. Throw it away. Burn it. It won't burn, of course, but anyway. So that is foolishness. You don't know the value of a big diamond. So similarly, Prahlad Maharaj is offering the topmost jewel of all jewels. And we don't know. We don't care. That is the attitude most people have got. So this is one aspect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings about Lord Krishna. According to me, a sweeter part of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya is in this new book of Radharani. So I would like to read out, just as Janma Karma Me Divyam is important about Krishna, similarly, one should, for a complete knowledge, as I mentioned, you should know also about the divine appearance of Radharani and her Leela. Because then you have both sides of the picture, you see. And therefore you can know Lord Chaitanya also perfectly, or more perfectly. Okay? Because he is in the mood of Radharani. So there are three, the writer, that is Bhakti Purushottam Swami, says that in every kalpa, there are slight differences in the appearance of Radharani. So he's given three of them here. But one of them is a very sweet and divine one. Would you like to hear this? Is it all right? We have time, I think. Is there time? Okay. There is another description of the appearance of Srimati Radharani on this planet. Once Surya Dev, that is Bhanu, worshipped Lord Srihari with a desire to get Golokeshwari as his daughter, that is Radharani. The Lord was pleased with Surya and agreed to fulfill his desire. On the earthly planet in Gokul Mahavan, there is a village called Raval. I think we are all going to Raval, right? In this October-November period. In that village, there was a king amongst the cowherds named Mahabhanu. He had 5 sons, Chandrabhanu, Ratnabhanu, Rishabhanu, Subhanu, and Pratibhanu. So there were 5 brothers. Each of them were very sober, self-controlled, and were great Vaishnavs. Amongst these 5 brothers, Vrishabhanu was selected to take up the position of the throne, means after the father. This Vrishabhanu was non-different than Surya Dev himself. So now we have established who was Vrishabhanu. Vrishabhanu was none other than Suryadev himself, because he had desired to be the father of Radharani. King Vrishabhanu performed hundreds of Rajasu Yajna. Now it's very difficult to perform Rajasu Yajna. Even one Rajasu Yajna mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam is so costly and time consuming and difficult. But he performed hundreds. So to obtain Radharani as a daughter, it took hundreds of these Rajasu Yajnas. And here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offering to us Radharani. I mean, it's too much, you know, getting something for nothing practically. And that too, we are the most fallen. Because those who are really capable and good souls, in Satyug itself, they went back home, back to Godhead. Then the residue of that was those who were left behind. From them, the good ones in Treta Yuga went. Then the residue of still worse ones, some of them in Dwapar Yuga went. And the bottom, Ragada, the worst ones are now here. So, and we are getting the benefit of free service from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, it's too much to get free service from God. But anyway, he says, I am Udhar Purushottam, I am giving freely. Why should we say no? We are business people. We'll accept. We'll accept something. If God himself wants to give something free. See, that is our conditioning. We want everything free. But we don't want to give anything. That's another problem. So here is Vrishabhanu, who is none other than Surya Dev himself. Because you see, all these devas, they wanted to participate in the leela of Lord Krishna. So many of the devas took positions in different parts of Golokpur, in Gokuldham. So here is our friend Vrishabhanu. So he performed hundreds of Rajasu Yajna for the pleasure of Lord Hari. Why? Because Lord Hari promised him that I'll give you daughter Radharani. So there's a reciprocation with the Lord. So if Lord does something for you, you should do for him also. So that establishes the bond of friendship. That is very important. If you accept from the Lord something which you have already accepted, and that's why you're here, therefore you should do something for the Lord. Otherwise that bond is broken, and you should not do that. The pleasure of Lord Hari and observing religious practices in all respects. He was a great Rajashri, and everyone worshipped him for his great qualities. At that time, there was another very rich cowherd man living in Vraj called Bindu. His wife's name was Mukhara. Bindu had fathered 5 sons and 3 daughters from the womb of his wife Mukhara. The 5 sons were Bhadra Kirti, Chandra Kirti, Mahabala, Mahakirti, and Sridhama. This is not the same Sridhama as the personal friend of Krishna. His daughters' names were Bhanu Mudra, Kirti Mati, and Kirtida. This youngest girl's name was Kirtida. And Kirtida was the daughter of Bindu. According to some Puranas, another name of Kirtida is Kalavati. So Vrishabhanu married this Kirtida. And then they had no children. They were getting on in age. But and all these big yajnas he did, everything he did, but he had no children. So they were suffering a lot. And he was promised by none other than Lord Hari himself that he will have a beautiful daughter whom he wanted. And that was not happening. So there's something wrong somewhere. So then he goes to his Guru Maharaj. That's the best thing you can do. If you are in doubt, you have a problem, go to a pure Vaishnav, your Guru Maharaj, and he'll solve your problem. Now look at this wonderful solution. It's not a difficult solution because you are already practicing it. So one day, Vrishabhanu went to his Guru Maharaj and he asked him, what is wrong? Why am I not getting the results I want? And it is promised by God himself. So he says, this is the exact wording from Padma Puran. Harinam Vina Vatsa. Vatsa means my child. Harinam Vina. Harinam Vina. Vina without the name of Harinam. Harinam Vina Vatsa. Karana Shuddhir na jayate. Your ears don't get Shuddhi. Tasmat Shriyashkaram Rajan. Hari Namanu Kirtanam. Grana Hari Namani Yathak Kramam Vinidate. O Vatsa, my dear son, who says his Guru Maharaj says, without accepting Harinam, the ears do not get purified. To chant the holy name of Hari is most auspicious. Accept the holy name, accept means ACC, not E. Accept the holy name of Hari properly. Then King Vrishabhanu went to the ashram again of his Guru Maharaj. His name was Kratu Muni. So Kratu Muni was the guru of Vrishabhanu, and he asked, which was situated on the bank of the Yamuna, and he said, please give me Harinam initiation. So this is very important. If you want the mercy of Radharani, you have to take Harinam initiation. That is established in the Shastras, and this is the example of even the father of Radharani had to take Harinam initiation. Now here's the beautiful part. And he accepted Harinam initiation from Kritu Muni, who explained there are various different difficult rules and regulations. Like the, right now we have these four regulative principles. And the mantra given by Kritu Muni was Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. This is the original mantra, of course, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the original personality of Godhead, made it into Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In fact, that's easier than the other way around. So, everything he has made easier, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and made it so palatable, enjoyable, that you sang it louder than the earlier one. Then, Kritu Muni told the king, Iti Shodashta Namakma Namam Trekala Kalmas Phalam Nata Pratavaho Sarva Vedeshu Vidyate. This is in Brahmanda Purana Uttarakhanda Radha Radaya. Can you imagine? There is a chapter called Radha Radaya. And that Radha Radaya chapter is in Brahmanda Purana. After giving this Mahamantra to King Vrishabhanu, Krutada Muni further told him that whenever you get time, it's not necessary that only early in the morning you should chant this. Whenever you get time, wherever you are, in whatever position you are in, just simply chant this holy name of the Lord and you get Radharani. The mercy of Radharani and Radharani are not different. And why we must have the mercy of Radharani? Because we have to cross the Vireja river. I mentioned to you earlier, is it not? That the Jivatma on its own horsepower or its own ability can only reach up to the topmost level of the material universe. It cannot cross Vireja river on its own ability. The Jivatma has no ability of that nature. So Radharani sends her messenger or may come herself or whatever with her boat to take you across. Because we have to go from the material world or universe to the spiritual world or universe. And you cannot do it on your own. You can only do by the mercy of Radharani. And that can only happen if you chant the Mahamantra. People say we can chant some other mantra, this mantra, that mantra. But no. Repeatedly in every Puran it is mentioned that you have to chant this Mahamantra. And still people are foolish that they don't want to accept it. Now what happens? This cleanses the soul. It's mentioned here in the Brahmanda Purana. His guru is telling the king, Vrishabhanu, that it will cleanse your soul. And this is the same thing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling us. Pranadapi sunichena, tararapi sahishtuna, mamani namanadena, kirtaniya sadahari, isn't it? Cheto darpada marjanam bhava maha. You are always cleaning your soul by chanting this holy name of the Lord. After receiving this Mahamantra from Krutu Muni, Vrishabhanu offered his prostrated obeisances and came back to the bank of the Yamuna, and he sat and chanted the Mahamantra with devotion. And then you know what happened. After chanting this Mahamantra, he heard a small child crying at the bank of the Yamuna. Radharani and Yamuna are very great friends. You know that. Just like all of you have a signature, right? You sign something on a checkbook or some agreement or something. What happens is there is a pen and there is ink. And the ink flows and you move that ink, isn't it? And that you call your signature. So that river Yamuna which we see is a signature of Yamuna herself. And you can dive into that Yamuna. Just like when you go to the bank, the manager of the bank is not even interested looking at your face. He's only interested in looking at your signature and checking your signature. You see? So the signature is very important, finally. So all these Ganga River and the Yamuna River and all these famous rivers are the signatures of the original personality. Yamunaji's own signature is right there as Yamuna River. That's flowing. Just like your signature ink flows, the water also flows of Yamuna. So now you understand? Diving into the Yamuna is very important because you are diving into the signature of Yamuna. So you are getting the benefit of Yamuna. Just like some great man or a very rich man, and you have a check signed by him, then everybody, you may not even encash the check. The check alone will have such great value. You see? Because if you encash the check, then the check passes on to the bank and that's the end of that check. You don't see it again. But if in the case of Yamuna, you repeatedly can see the Yamuna River. And that's what's important. That Yamuna River is available to you, but it's not really a river only. That's an English word. But actually it is Yamuna Devi herself, her signature. So that is the important issue. So Vrishabhanu saw this wonderful child. There are three different varieties of stories mentioned here. One is that a big kamal came, huge kamal. And in the middle of the kamal was Radharani. In one kalpa, she came like that. Another kalpa, she came from the soil. There is another story, how she came from the soil. Because there was a competition between Himalaya and the Vindhyachal mountains. So Himalaya, Alia. So there was a king called Hima, who was the king of the Himalaya mountains. And he had a daughter called Parvati. Parvat Raja was the name of Himalaya. So he had a daughter called Parvati. So this guy, Vindhyachal king, he wanted a daughter who was superior to that one. Always, you know, these kings have that sort of competition. So who can be superior to Parvati? It's only Radharani. So there is another totally different 4 pages of appearance of Radharani in another kalpa of how she appeared as a daughter of Vindhya mountain. And at kalpa, Vrishabhanu was the expansion of Vindhya mountain. So now I've tried to explain why Prahlad Maharaj is most important, to summarize. He is a Param Vaishnava, as far as we are concerned. We can always associate with Prahlad Maharaj through the Bhagavatam and be friendly with him. He is prepared to be friend with us, always. And he is the most dear friend of the Lord, so that by association we go to the Lord. It's only possible by association. That's why associations of Vaishnavas is most important. Not only these Vaishnavas who are here in this material world, but there are so many Vaishnavas in the spiritual world. So why not associate with them through the Bhagavatam now, in this world itself? We have an opportunity. So that opportunity should not be lost. Therefore, Prabhupada has given us this wonderful calculation of use this lifetime itself and perfect your lifetime by going home back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or any comments? Yes, Mataji. Give her the mic. Mic's coming.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hari Bol Prabhuji. This is in continuation with the question you asked Bhagatji about why Prahlad Maharaj had to undergo so much suffering. My question is that why was he the chosen one? In Bhagavatam, there are certain, some of the personalities like Devaki and Vasudev, there are stories about why they have been the chosen one to be the parents of Krishna and similar so many other personalities. So why was Prahlad, or maybe why was Dhruv Maharaj, why have they been the chosen one and not someone else? So much of benefit that they have been mentioned in the Bhagavatam. We have had so many other saints also who have gone through so many penances and sacrifices, but they do not figure anywhere. So I just wanted to ask this.
That's a very good question. Thank you. So, first of all, it is a fact that certain Jivatmas in the earlier yugas, means Satyug, Treta Yug, etc., had done tremendous amount of sacrifices. Like you just mentioned about Devakiji and Vasudev. They had undergone thousands and thousands of years of penance. Finally, the Lord did appear to them. And he said, what would you like? So they said, we want a child like you. So he said, there is nobody like me except me. So I'll be your child, okay? So he said, fine. So similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, if you go through the Shastras, you'll observe that in his earlier life, Govind Prabhu, you know about this? Can you tell something? No, you tell. Come on, give the mic to him. Because I like to hear from Govind Prabhu also. In his earlier lifetime, he had done tremendous amount of tapasya. Please. Maybe you are doing it now. You may become Devaki. Who knows? Where is my friend? Satchidanand. He's somewhere here. Hare Bol. Future. Yes, please. You tell. Something you tell. Because you are an authority here.
Gaur Govind Maharaj explains this story.
Correct.
That Prahlad Maharaj was, he celebrated Narsingh Chaturdasi by accident. He was waiting for his paramour, his friend. And then he fasted on that day. And that's how he became He became Prahlad Maharaj in his next lifetime.
Well, actually what happened was that when you have all the opportunity in the world to you are outside your favorite restaurant. Okay? Just I'm giving an example. And you have got all the opportunity, you got the money, you got everything available, and you are very, very hungry. It's obvious you go in that restaurant or wherever, like Govinda's is here, your favorite restaurant, and you eat there, isn't it? But if you fast on that day, knowing fully well that I can have that opportunity of enjoying, and still you don't do it, and it happens to be Narsingh Bhagwan's appearance day. You see, in every kalpa there, Narsingh Bhagwan appears. So this gentleman had fasted tremendously on that day. But you see, your day is only 24 hours of this material world. Every entity thinks that is 24 hours is the full day. Even an ant thinks, because ant's life is maybe, what, few days only. But for that ant, it's 100 years. You try to understand that. Because you have to scale up and down. So that entity, living entity, fasted for a very, very long time. According to our calculations. Okay? Am I correct? And he did not even partake any water on that day. There are people who are... this Vrishabhanu, he did the same thing. You know that? This Vrishabhanu is mentioned in this book. That for hundreds of years, I don't know how he did it, but he did it. He didn't eat. He fasted till I get Radharani, you see, as my daughter. And he did not open his mouth also. Moan means do not speak. But today's Muni Babas, they eat a lot. Open their mouth for eating and drinking. But then they say, hum baat nahi karenge. But that is not real Mauni Baba. Mauni Baba means not to open the mouth only, period. You see? Whether it's for eating, sleeping, drinking or talking or snoring, whatever it is. That also they should not do. It means you should not sleep. So that's true Mauni Baba. That's why Prabhupada always used to joke about money babas. But I like to elaborate. So, Prahlad Maharaj in his previous life had done tremendous amount of tapasya. Unknowingly, actually he didn't know that is Narsingh Chaturthi, Chaturdashi day. Okay. Similarly, this Dhruva Maharaj in his previous life. That's why I'm saying, if you start now, maybe you have a chance of becoming Devaki. Hare Krishna. I don't want you to suffer so much. Mataji, Kirtida Mataji, Jai. Mic, please, back again. Back and forth. This, while the mic is coming to you, I want to share one very wonderful thing with the devotees. It's a great thing. Where is that? All these gopis, no? 630 million gopis came. All came from the hair of pores of Radharani, incidentally. And from her left shoulder came Mahalakshmi. And from Mahalakshmi's expansion is Rajalakshmi, that means the money that the kings have. And from that Rajalakshmi comes another Lakshmi, what the rich men have. That's called Mratyayu Lakshmi. Okay. So there are lots of Lakshmis.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for a most wonderful lecture. My question is, you said that Prahlad Maharaj in his previous birth unknowingly did a lot of austerity and he fasted on Narsingh Chaturdashi. But Narsingh Chaturdashi is after
Prahlad. Previous kalpa.
Okay. So this is happening again and again.
Just like Ramchandraji's appearance is happening again and again. He came in the latest one as, what was it, greenish complexion? Light green complexion. And in the earlier one, he came light red complexion. And earlier to that, he came light blue complexion. So the Lord also, he can do what he wants, you know. He's totally independent. He can take whatever complexion he wants. So similarly, Narsingh Bhagwan appeared in his earlier as Ugra Narsingha. As some other sweet Narsingha. You see, you know, it's up to him.
Okay.
Sweet he Narsingha. Can do what he wants. You go to Mayapur, you see Ugra Narsingha. You go to New Vrindavan, and that Lord Narsingha is smiling with Prahlad sitting there and licking him and all that. So my wife said, I want only that photo. Oh, mat liyao idhar. So we have New Vrindavan Narsingha at our home because she likes, you know, sweet Narsingha. Sweet relationship.
Hare Krishna. Thank
Hare
you.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Just one a little bit. You know, a lot of people, I'm sure, must be unknowingly fasting on many a days.
Yeah.
So why that special benefit? It's just that one fast.
Right,
one...
Mataji. If you try fasting, you'll get a lot of benefit.
Prabhuji, we...
At least this country, there's a shortage of food.
No, Prabhuji,
inflation. If all of us fasted... No, I'm quite serious.
Prabhuji,
Government of India has made a circular.
In the congregation, we are
that
fasting.
That is, all 1
sure...
billion people fast for one day. There's no food shortage in this.
No, but I'm sure that around the world,
besides 6 billion.
The congregation, there must be so many people who are unknowingly, definitely fasting. Maybe, you know.
See, Mataji, we are too small. We are just 1/10,000th of a tip of a hair. We don't understand everything. By chance, what is that? Sukriti. Agyata Sukriti. Somehow or the other, it can benefit you, you know. But your bhav, main thing is your consciousness should be pure. I'm doing it not for my benefit. I'm doing it for benefit of the Lord. Even when you fast, you're not benefiting Government of India. Don't think like that. I'm benefiting Krishna. Krishna, I'm fasting for your sake, not my sake or somebody else's sake. Okay? That bhav should be developed. You give up something, you know, for benefit. Not benefit, because Krishna doesn't need our benefit. But you give up something, you know, and say, Krishna, I surrender this to you. It's a question of surrender, no? So surrender means you have to give up, no? Either you surrender by giving up your Your hands up, what does it mean? That anything you kept here is dropped. That's mentioned in the Quran. In the Quran, it's mentioned why these Muslims do like this, because earlier they were not doing like that, you know. Because they were keeping some things here always. Bagal mein rakhta hai churi. It's a fact. It's a fact. They always kept the churi in the bagal. It's not, it was a fact. So when they did like this, they said, I'm surrendering my churi to you, to Allah. So Mataji, is it answer your question or is it just a joke?
Yes, no, it's fine.
Okay, thank you. Your better half has, not lesser half, I should say. Any questions? Hare Krishna. Better half is here. Yes, please. Any other? No. Jai Radhe Radhe. So let's go for prasadam. Hare Krishna.